This is CliffCentral.com.
Good morning, everybody. It's the last day that Cliff Central will be for. Tomorrow we turn 5 years old. I can't believe it. I don't feel like it's 5 years, really. Do you? I feel like it's 5 years. You were here on that first day, ass. You were here, Sia.
Yeah.
Right? You feel like it's 5 years?
It feels like...
I mean, a lot has changed.
Feels like 4 years and 364 days.
Oh, that's what it feels like, more specifically. It's funny, it was yesterday. I was organizing something for the birthday, and I got an email, and it said it in a sentence. It's turning five. I'm like, what? What? Yeah. When did that happen?
It's weird how that happened.
How did that happen?
Kind of feel like, because I've got a nephew who's, he turned five in January.
Oh.
And another one is turning three in about 10 days, 11 days. And so I have a pretty good feel for kind of how my brother and sister-in-law feel about them.
Yeah.
Turning five. And it feels sort of the same, you know, except that this child is kind of a little more complex.
Well, and
or
also,
less, or maybe not, maybe less complex.
I was going to say, in some instances, less. Yeah, we didn't have to go through diaper changes, potty training.
Oh, that's what you think.
Is there like a senile's club that I don't know? Yeah.
So if you don't know already, we're turning five. It was our birthday it will be our birthday on the 1st of May tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a public holiday, so we won't be doing shows and stuff. And you know, I'm not one of those people who likes big birthday fusses. So I've kept it to an absolute minimum, which is the way I like it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that there's any point in going, wow, look at us, we're five. We survived the first 5 years of business in a crappy economy in a country that really doesn't move as fast as most countries, where you're doing something innovative and technological, and you're doing something that changes the landscape. We could talk about that all day. It's not interesting. The people who've been part of this journey, I mean, if you listen to us, even if you just listen once a week, you know, maybe you listen once a month.
Yeah, you don't have to do it every day, you know.
Yeah. I appreciate that enormously. That's what's made us successful. It isn't anything else. It's the people who listen to us. And there's no reason for me to celebrate and to make this all about us as a business when it's actually about you. When you listen to us. So I'm not making a big fuss. We're not having a big party. We're not.
Okay.
Oh, shut up, Sia.
It's just so sweet.
We're not having a big party. We're not having a big celebration. We're not making a lot of noise. We are doing a lot of interesting stuff behind the scenes in terms of working out what I think will become a mathematical model for people to understand and measure podcasting going forward, which is very exciting.
I like models.
Yes, exactly.
Not this kind, Leanne.
And there will be interesting research and information over the next couple of weeks, which we'll be releasing bit by bit, that will tell people, I think, a lot more about the South African podcast market and kind of why it matters and why people who are listening to podcasts are exactly the people that brands should be reaching.
Yeah, it's becoming huge. In the States at the moment, it's flying. And
you know that Joe Rogan in 1 week reaches more people than HBO, CNN, MSNBC,
the Pope,
Fox News, probably the Pope. I would imagine, like, he's talking to more people in a week, and he's just one example. I mean, there's Adam Carolla. There are people like Ben Shapiro who's doing really well. I saw he's at number two on the US charts this week. We have never been out of the top five ever in South Africa, which is great. I mean, look, we started this podcast thing in terms of it being a mainstream thing. And forgive me if I sound like I'm struggling. My throat's fucking sore and I don't know why.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's that time of year.
Is it? A relapse of the cold a bit.
Like the post-nasal drip shit, which is so disgusting if you think about it. And that combined with... I suppose a weekend where there was just a different climate in the Free State. It was very dry.
Mm.
So that's probably part of it. But I'm not going to get down on my hands and knees and beg you to, you know, kind of feel sorry for me because I've got a sore throat.
It's okay. We won't.
All right.
Good. Good. But these guys are doing amazing stuff in America, and it's starting to catch on here in a big way. I mean, radio is really struggling. The numbers, I was at a talk last Thursday where they had the SABC, Kagiso, and Prime Media, which are the three biggest broadcasting businesses in South Africa, right?
Yeah.
And all three of them, I have to say, with the best intention and the nicest possible attitude towards some of these people, are people I consider friends, like Kevin Fine at Kagiso. He's a good guy. They're out of ideas. Honestly, they don't have anything new coming up, and they're doing podcasting because they have to, so they record their radio shows and make it a podcast. You know, it's kind of not where we're going. This is the only show. This one of ours is the only show that we still do that with, and I want this to become less and less important in the future for what we're doing. We're going to be producing series like Blind History or like Naked Insurance, you know, The Naked Economy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Those kinds of things that I think people get excited about, that make a difference. It's like downloading a great TV series, except it's in audio. That's where it's at.
We're definitely preaching to the converted here, because people who are listening get it. I was chatting to a friend of mine who's the head of digital for a large alcoholic group, and it's an
alcoholic group.
She's a great friend to have.
Do you guys get together and discuss how you're alcoholics? Is that?
By the way, I do always schedule our catch-ups on a Friday afternoon. And I'm like, you know, actually, I'm around your office. Let me just stop by your office, because Friday afternoon, they open up their bars there.
Sure.
Like, this is the life, because they're like eight different brands, I think. Right. And she was letting me know that in terms of advertising spend globally, the whole model has flipped over. In America, they didn't even pay for any billboards.
Yep.
They didn't pay for any TV commercials. They were doing a whole bunch of digital stuff. Yep. Their main ad spend was actually spending on Spotify.
Mm-hmm.
And you think this is almost foreign to us in South Africa, but we're getting there.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, PR, and that's half of the business that I'm in, is changing. We're moving away from print and into digital, into online, into influencers, into bloggers, and into podcasts.
Yeah.
Yep. So anyway, that's the over and a, you know, the kind of high level stuff that we're thinking about as we turn five. And I just wanted to again say thank you to everybody who's been a part of this from the get go. You know, I remember waking up on that morning on the 1st of May 2014, and
okay,
it was like 3 a.m. We came in here and there were TV cameras. Do you remember? It was a massive thing. I don't know that for a small independent media house that had really started with an idea and nothing else, I was so worried that we would look like the emperor with no clothes. You know, start the show and no one would care.
Yeah.
But people cared. I mean, we got like record ratings in terms of the TV viewership, small as that was, on Comedy Central at the time. We did that for like a month as a launching experiment. And then, you know, the number of downloads, I think day number one is still the biggest day in podcasting in South African history by a long way. Just because people were like, wow, you got to listen to this. And
what is it? And
yeah, just thank
that
you.
That curiosity. And,
you know, just thanks, because otherwise I wake up every morning, I'm really lucky. I get to do what I want and I get to do what I love. And I get to talk to people who are smarter than me every single day, which is just the greatest privilege in the world.
Yeah, you don't want it the other way around.
Oh, hell no.
No.
Because that's how it is in most businesses, I suppose, for people who, you know, who feel unchallenged.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought the other day about how we get people in here. I mean, Sia, you've booked us guests that these are the kind of people who someone would pay hundreds of thousands of dollars sometimes for an hour in the company of some of these great thinkers. And we get them in here and I get to talk to them. It's like a university for adults. And that's why we've got so many interviews that we just keep playing repeats, because there's just such a treasure trove of stuff. Anyway, so speaking
that's
of blind
sweet.
History. Yeah.
That's
so
true.
Speaking of blind history, coming up later in the show, the Golden Age, named for Queen Elizabeth I, the great Virgin Queen of England, during her reign.
But she also have a handbag like this Queen Elizabeth.
One that she carried around?
Yeah.
Or Prince Philip?
Whoa, okay.
She did have little handbags, but it was mostly decorative in those days. You know, the Queen doesn't really need to carry anything.
Yeah, what has she got in there, you know?
They did ask her that once. She's got lipstick. She's got a tissue or handkerchief or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. She has, I think, mints.
Because I heard she doesn't carry cash.
Oh, no, she doesn't. No. The Queen never carries cash.
Ugh. What would she need it for?
I mean, it's like you carrying a picture of yourself around everywhere.
How basic.
Anyway, so Queen Elizabeth I was the first great Virgin Queen of England. She was also the queen who reigned over Shakespeare and Marlowe. They wrote their masterpieces. Sir Francis Drake sailed around the world. The Spanish Armada was defeated. English pride was at an apogee. It was at the highest level it had ever been. And at the center of all this was Elizabeth, resplendent in jewels, makeup, finery, and glory. You can go to cliffcentral.com for all the episodes of Blind History. It's brought to you by Taylor Blinds and Shutters.
Very good.
Is it? Are you enjoying it?
Yes, good. I am. Good,
very, good. Very nice.
So here's Inati who says, I've been with you for 4 of the 5 years. Happy birthday. Inati, you know what? We won't penalize you for that 1 year that you're missing.
I don't know.
You think we should punish him? Just Playing says, I can't believe Cliff Central's 5 years old tomorrow. I never listened to radio when you guys started, and I haven't since.
Sure.
I say that because Cliff Central did not fall out of a cunt, says someone. Happy 5th launch anniversary. You know, as opposed to a birthday.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
5 years already. Wow, to think I'm 5 years older than when this started. Time really flies when you're having fun. Well, thank you very much. Unfortunately, I don't have a name, so I can't thank you for that person.
But that's most, excuse me, that's most similarly my sentiment. Because now I'm thinking, you know, in your mind, you don't really visualize yourself getting older. You're like, it's just another day and it's just another month and it happens to be another year.
How old were you when you started with us?
19.
Just a teenager.
I was still a teenager, technically.
Now you're old.
Oi. Deep in my...
Past your prime?
Can we not say that?
I couldn't live without my Cliff Central fix. I try to listen every day, but when I can't, I download the podcast. It's awesome. Thanks for freeing me from terrestrial radio for 5 years. And happy birthday from Michelle. She says, I was in hospital for the first shoulder surgery on the 1st of May 2014.
Sure.
I've been with you ever since. Thank you for informing and entertaining me weekly. Love you long time, Michelle. How cool is that? Not the shoulder surgery, obviously. Yeah, the rest. Yeah, it's very good. All right. Some few things. We did leave a few things on the floor yesterday because we didn't get to them.
Mm-hmm.
Leanne had a very scary, sad story about a model who collapsed on the runway. And, you know, we get very upset about this because we feel models are essential to the happiness of humankind.
Yeah.
This wasn't a female model. It was a male model.
That's I would have been right up there to perform mouth to mouth.
I know you would have helped, Sia.
Because I'm such a selfless human being in that
so
way.
So tell us what happened.
The paramedics failed.
Terrible, sad story. Forget about all the floods in Brazil. I mean, in Mozambique.
Forget about the
synagogue shooting in California. Forget about Sri Lanka with the churches that were shot up. This is a really sad story. Models dying.
Yes.
Tell us.
It was for the fashion brand Oxa that he was modeling for.
Oh.
His name was Tales Suarez.
Oh, no.
Apparently
not Tales Suarez.
No, exactly.
Oh,
what a beautiful name.
He took ill, but like nothing serious, he still took to the runway. And as we know, models are dedicated to their cause. And work
so
must
hard.
Go on. And he fell to his death. On the catwalk in a parade in Sao Paulo.
Wait, but when you say the show must go on, do they literally like sweep him off the runway and then are like, okay, carry on,
listen,
next one?
Fashion people are merciless. They probably just stabbed him with their stiletto heels and pulled his body to
the
side.
What an inconvenience.
Hooked him with their stilettos and pulled him over the edge.
Well, speaking of...
Hit him under the little curtain that goes around the stage and carried on.
Speaking of stilettos... You know, a lot of these female models fall on their stilettos.
All the time. It's so sad. It's tragic.
The cause of his fall was he tripped on a shoelace.
Oh, Jesus.
Yep. And if you saw these shoes, they were intricate and elaborate.
Did they show his death?
Is there a
video?
No, I see a
picture.
Like
a snuff film of a model?
I've seen a photograph.
Oh, no.
And they were like platform tackies.
Oh, my God.
And many, many laces.
Oh, you see.
Of which one came loose.
First Karl Lagerfeld, now Tales Suarez.
Yep. And he tripped and that I don't know what caused his actual death, but
see ya.
Paramedics arrived on the scene. I think they maybe tried mouth to mouth.
Why are we genuinely more upset about someone who's attractive dying than we are about an ugly old bag dying?
Well,
because we really are.
It's a loss to the world.
Yeah, people are nice about people when they die. But I'm just going to come out with it. I don't think he was that attractive.
Oh, no, he really
wasn't.
Oh, my
God, Leanne, that's very, very controversial.
I know. I'm taking a stand this morning.
So this reminds me of the weekend. I went down to Durban for my uncle's funeral. And
lots of people were sending their condolences over the weekend. And very people saying yesterday, oh, we're so sad for Sia.
Thank you.
Your family were there, including Aunt Tabitha.
Oh, Tabitha, our family drunk. She was large and in charge.
I hope she doesn't listen to this show. She'd be very upset by you.
Do you know, I had to, on the drive back, we drove back yesterday, I had to bring her into my world. Even just playing music on my own curated Apple Music playlist was a bit of a mindfuck for her. It's like, what? And I'm like, Grand, like, what song do you want to listen to?
You had to bring her up here?
Yeah. And I could, like, type a song for her on the phone.
I thought she lived in KZN.
She was here visiting some cousins of ours.
So you had to drive with her the whole way?
This is what I was doing the entire weekend. I was essentially the family's personal chauffeur over the weekend. Like, this one needed to be picked up. I needed to go and pick this up, running random errands. But you reminded me, Leanne, when you were talking about people are nice about people as soon as they've died.
Yeah.
I've never been to a more sincere funeral than my uncle's.
Tell us what happened. Weekend.
So I did say that my uncle lived his life in a very unique way. You know, he had four children with four different women.
Okay.
So it's not that he didn't like his children or the women he had the children with, but he, you know, kept them at bay. He visited every so often, paid money to them, but he lived alone and he liked it that way. He didn't really visit us that much. And he liked himself a great drink. So most of his neighbors and his friends stood up to say speeches at the funeral. And there was a common thread with everyone saying, you know, life is not going to be the same anymore. I used to bump into Nkonzo. That's my uncle's name. I used to bump into Nkonzo. And he'd look at me and say, you know, here you go. Here's R100. Go and buy yourself a drink. And everyone was just relaying that story. Saying,
so he used to buy the whole neighborhood drinks.
Buy everyone drinks.
Is he very loaded? Do you have a lot of money?
No.
Oh, so but he's just a generous guy.
Since he just kept to himself and lived a very simple life, he was like,
you know what?
He rolled squad deep with his friends.
What a great memory. What a wonderful way to go. That people remember you as having given them money for drinks.
Yeah, imagine being remembered for the one who always forgets his wallet at home at the bar.
Or the one who loved her knitting. She loved her knitting. You know, imagine being the one who nobody really has anything nice to say about. I mean, if people say about me one day, you know, he bought me a tequila at a bar once. I'll be thrilled.
That's what matters.
That's great. That's good enough for me.
Yeah,
there were someone says, you know, that guy, I remember him. Once we got drunk together.
Yes.
He was funny. I'd be thrilled. That would be such a big stamp of approval. My little angel on its way to heaven, or my devil on the way to hell, whichever you think it's going to be.
Yes.
Would flap their little wings a little bit for that. They'd be thrilled. I can tell you now, that's a good way to go. So, you know what, Nkonzo?
Yes.
Peace, brother.
Well, that's not what my grandmother and my mother wanted to hear. They were fanning themselves going, oh, be still my flaming heart.
No, they wanted to hear that he was a good, honest man who was religious and believed and did the right thing.
There was so much alcohol talk. And then, you know.
Tabitha must have liked that.
Oh, she loved it. Absolutely loved it.
What does Tabitha drink?
Everything.
She does.
Like PJ Powers,
you know,
when
she's really into
beer.
Remember
when, like, hairspray as well?
Yeah, remember when PJ Powers is at the height of her alcoholism? She says she used to spray hairspray into her mouth.
Yeah.
Get some of that in.
That's intense.
Tabitha's like that, right?
Aunt Tabitha's really into beer, and especially African beer, yes. So she did a whole huge tub of it over the weekend. And so because my uncle grew up in northern KZN, a lot of that part of the family also came down to Durban. Now, it's not a history lesson, but, you know, Northern KZN is more staunch and cultural.
Very traditional.
As opposed to my parents who grew up in the township, but, you know, they're more lax with things. But everyone had a role to play. You know, all of the children had to do something, all the men had to carry the coffin, and all the ladies had to cook. But it's all fun and games up until they saw little old Sia. They're like, Sia, here you go. Here are the flower arrangements. You can do.
Oh wow! They gave you the flowers. That is so homophobic.
You're the flower boy.
I had to just see the gay guy and give him the flowers all over the church. Really? And I had to hand out little roses.
You weren't brewing beer or carrying coffins.
And I was like, you know what? That's my family's way of progress.
There you were, skipping down the aisle, throwing petals over your shoulders.
Well, I may as well have played the Alan Ford theme music for you.
I thought at least this is fine with me. Right. And we got to the graveyard. It was a beautiful end to the ceremony up until my uncle's friends interrupted the priest who was doing the final word, you know, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. It's meant to be
if
a very
solemn. If it weren't for women, your ding-dong would rest.
Oh, no, I don't remember that line.
Oh, that's the one I learned.
And just as the priest was about to do the final prayer, oh, the four drunks started singing a song. They moved right up to the pit of...
Were they drinking already?
The grave themselves. They were tipsy already.
This is quite a squad he had.
And wow. the one dude nearly fell in.
Oh!
It was... We're now just sitting there going, okay, don't know what to do. Just let them have their moment. And they did. And so I just think at the end of the day, it summarized who my uncle was in all of who he was. So I really think it was a beautiful ceremony in that way.
Are you not a little bit jealous that he had this group of friends he was really tight with and they all drank together and they all got, like, they didn't give a shit about the priest or anything else. They were like, this is our mate. We're going to make sure he gets a proper send off and starts singing. And that's cool.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's very Irish. That's how the Irish, I mean, the Irish are drunk all the time, but that's how they behave. They have a wake. They don't have a funeral.
Yeah, that's
true. It's not this depressing, we've lost someone. Sure. It's a celebration of their life, more like it.
But I think people want to know about the trip with Tabitha in the car, because that sounds like it could have been an ordeal. And I also want to know what the traffic was like on the way back, because the roads have been an absolute mess the last few days. Obviously, the Easter weekend and now this weekend and now another day off tomorrow. Let's get into some news, though.
Yes.
Before we get to all of that stuff. So, the five things you need to know today. First thing you need to know. AfriForum are arguing that if you ban the apartheid flag, it's unlawful and it's a prohibition of free speech in some way.
Come on now, get over it.
Well,
really?
I think this is kind of important, because what you do when you ban something is you allow government into people's private lives, and you allow government into people's private homes, and you allow government into places that they shouldn't be. And the reason I bring this up is because, you know, advocate Mukai Tobi, he's been on the show before.
Oh, yes, he has.
He was the junior on my case against Mnet, which I'm very happy to say we won. I have a lot of time for Tembega. He's a smart guy. He was arguing for the Nelson Mandela Foundation and the South African Human Rights Commission, who are obviously in favor of banning the flag. Now, there is no part of me that loves the old South African flag. I think from a heraldic and vexillological point of view, yes, that's a word.
Whew.
I know.
I don't know what to do with that.
It's the study of flags. It's an ugly composition. It's not a pretty flag. It doesn't bring any warm feelings to my heart. I think of the old regime, and I think of having to line up at school every morning, and we'd have to salute the flag some days, and there was like a whole indoctrination.
You had to know how to draw it, and there were actually four flags because there were three within the one.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And you had to remember how to describe. I mean, like, this is stuff that makes, I think, white people who were forced to do this stuff, because I don't think black people were forced to do this. They just weren't given an option about the flag, and they weren't taught much about it either. As far as black friends of mine have told me, but white people were indoctrinated and proselytized to and propagandized by this thing to an extent where you actually have a pretty ugly feeling about it. I mean, like, I do not get a good, patriotic, happy, excited feeling when I see that old flag.
It didn't feel like freedom. It felt like
oppression.
You were forced to respect it.
I don't want to be glib about this. I know that what black people were going through under apartheid has nothing near to the paltry feelings of some white person.
But we do have memories.
That authoritarian nonsense that we were taught at school about that flag did not please me at all. I hated the stem for the same reasons, although it's a pretty tune. I don't like any of the words. I don't get it. A lot of people are not the descendants of Voortrekkers who climbed over the Berge and all this kind of thing. And it doesn't apply to everybody, all right? And especially that whole Broederbond type thing, which was never my scene. I didn't like it, didn't identify with it. The flag was never a part of my life in any meaningful way. But to ban a flag is to give it power. You know, if you think about how the Germans have banned any representation of Nazism and how it's created a fascination, which is unhealthy. As a result of that, there are a lot of underground German organizations which are quite right-wing, and they've come about because of this ban.
Yeah, it's like getting a tattoo of a swastika is scary and cool.
Yeah, yeah. It makes you mysterious and dangerous. Yeah. I don't like this stuff. So I saw Tim Becker arguing against this flag, and I have to be honest, I'm not on the side of banning things like this. I think that it is an incursion on free speech. I think if a racist or a person who supports the old regime, and trust me, there are a lot of people who supported the old regime. Remember that yes, no referendum? It was almost half and half, which means that at least half the white people you meet didn't really want to say goodbye to apartheid in a hurry. Okay, luckily they were in the minority by, you know, a couple of 1,000 votes. But the fact is there were a lot of people who supported apartheid. If you think, I mean, a lot of them may have reformed. But the fact is, there are still people who think that that was okay. Don't you rather want to know who they are and where they are? Don't you rather want them to feel they can be those horrible things? Because at least South Africa is tolerant, and we can also know how to avoid people like that by the flag they hold up.
Mm.
I mean, at rugby matches and so on, I think it's stupid and childish and backward to be flying any flags. I don't think your sports team care. I don't think God cares. I don't think you care, frankly. I think you're trying to make a statement to get a reaction out of other people.
Mm.
It's just dumb. AfriForum argued in court, the law only prohibits hate speech which refers to words and not symbols. The Nelson Mandela Foundation has taken the case to court, arguing that the old flag should be declared hate speech. Now, how can a flag be hate speech? I think this is very childish. I think this is unnecessary. Who are we protecting? Shame. Poor, sad little black people who are oppressed by a flag? Come on. I know plenty of people who are much stronger than that. I think that's weakness. And I've never been oppressed by a flag in my life. I felt certainly that the flag was an oppressive symbol. So I'm in agreement with the Nelson Mandela Foundation there. It was an oppressive symbol. Without doubt, that flag represented a regime which was racist. But to ban it is really just to go too far and unnecessary. It's an article of history. It's something that represents for some people their own history. There might be white Afrikaner nationalists who think that that was important. Maybe in 10 years' time, people want to ban the ANC flag. Oh, this was the flag that corrupted the country. This is the flag that robbed the country. This is the flag the Guptas managed to buy over. And maybe they ban that. How will you feel about that then? I don't think this is a good path to go down. Anyway, that's the story in the news. You can follow it up. Maybe you want to argue with me. South Africa's recorded a 22% increase in cyber attacks in 2019.
Yeah, it's happened to my company where we had hacking into our emails and then a demand for payment in order to fix it. But yeah, I'm seeing more of it, more and more of it on TV.
Yeah.
And I think it's becoming bigger here now.
Well, apparently we've been warned to be careful in cyberspace. There's a huge increase in malware attacks. Global cybersecurity company Kaspersky Lab said on average over 13,000 attempted cyber attacks occur in South Africa every single day.
Wow.
Yeah, the organization said Android phones are the second most targeted in the world in terms of banking malware. So they're trying to get at your money. It's not like they're just trying to check your Facebook messages. They're trying to get your money. So just be very aware. Unfortunately, they said there's no silver bullet other than to be aware that generally if someone is asking you to do something that requires money, don't do it. Just be careful what you do with your PIN and with your username and your password.
And emails from Odu Ongowanda gang.
Yes, exactly. Shiraz Mohammed was captured 2 years ago in Syria on suspicion of being a foreign spy and has been in captivity ever since. He's a South African journalist, and his family say they're in constant communication with local authorities in a bid to secure his release. Shortly before his birthday, the family met with Durko, the SSA, Hawks, SAPS, and Crime Intelligence. They've all been trying to assist in sharing whatever information they've been getting as a family in order to get the investigation into Shiraz's abduction finalized. That's his ex-wife who told media that, Shirley Bridgel.
Yeah, there was a new video from him, well, from his captors, where he pleads pleads with his president, with his country. He was there as a photographer, taking pictures, doing a report.
Can you imagine?
And he's been taken.
You've gone over there to do your job, and you get kidnapped, and now suddenly they're demanding ransom for you. And anyway, the video that Leanne is referring to was sent to the Gift of the Givers over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Shows Mohammed appealing to government.
At least it does. It is proof that he's alive.
While a man stands behind him with a rifle, Gift of the Givers, Imtiaz Suleiman, said he expected the group would demand a ransom soon. Yeah, that's how these guys work, son of a bitch. I hope you get out, Mohammed. I really do. We're rooting for you, dude. And we're hoping things end up better than in some of these situations. You know, these savages in places like Syria just chop off people's heads and God knows what else. For being a photographer? And to all intents and purposes, it sounds like Mohammed's a Muslim. I don't know why they'd be doing this to a fellow Muslim. You'd think if religion was the main reason for a lot of these nutcases to be behaving the way that they are, you'd think they'd at least spare someone who has the same kind of religion that they do, even if it's not the same precise sect.
Yeah.
Hey. Anyway, it's been a deadly weekend on the Western Cape roads. 34 lives having been lost in multiple crashes. In one accident, 3 people were killed when a bus collided with a truck, which in turn collided with a broken-down truck on the N1 near Toes River. Oh, what a disaster. 4 people died in a head-on collision involving 2 vehicles traveling between Gansbaai and Purley Beach on Friday. Western Cape Traffic Chief Kenny Africa said they were doing everything they could to prevent road accidents, but emphasized the need to change comes from the motorists. Absolutely. And then finally, John Singleton is dead. Singleton, of course, made his directorial debut with the acclaimed film Boys in the Hood. I remember seeing that when I was a young guy. And it was about young men struggling in a gang-ridden Los Angeles. He died on Monday at the age of 51. Young. His family said days after he suffered a stroke. Family said in a statement that he passed away peacefully surrounded by his family and friends. You can't wish for a better way to go, but at 51, that's young. Really, unnecessarily young. So, rest in peace, John Singleton. He's also not in the death pool, in case you're wondering.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, our death pool's useless. No one on our death pool dies. It seems to be the one way to make sure that you live forever.
I'm going to put my name on there now.
Yeah, put us on there.
Kirk Douglas. We are on there. Kirk Douglas is still there. You're on there. I think I might have you as my death pool.
Oh,
that's why we are dying.
I'm honored.
Well, Sia, let's be grateful.
Okay.
All right, those are the 5 things you need to know today. It is 17 minutes to 7. All right, let's do Said by Sia, shall we? Bitcoin is trading at $5,231, Ethereum at $159. Sia Sangweni has got Said by Sia for you. Let's go straight there. Give us some optimism and some reasons to feel happy today, Sia. Come on, take it away.
Why is this thing not playing now?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Something going on here.
Leanne offered to sing for me. It's fine this morning.
I can't remember the tune. No.
Don't you?
No.
Let me try this again. It's not working. All right. Sorry, Sia. You don't have music.
Oh, shame. Don't you worry. Okay. Well, regardless, I have double the dose of good news for you this morning. You know, being a pensioner is quite tough and hard. Mm-hmm. And especially as well, being an old dog is quite and hard. I'm not being derogatory. I'm literally talking about dogs here.
Okay.
So, talking about somebody who's an old dog.
No. So this is quite cute and cool that the Cape Dachshund Rescue Group has come up with an idea that will hit two birds with one stone in this instance.
Okay, now you're they're killing birds as well.
Oh, well, gosh. Yeah.
Old people, dogs, birds.
I mean, I'm on what a next? Roll here this morning. But they have come up with an initiative called the Frosty Face Fostering Program. They've realized that they have this surplus of dogs that need rescuing, but a lot of people aren't really keen on the idea of rescuing older dogs.
Yes.
And they realize that, well, old people have a lot of free and spare time on their hands. And they're sometimes lonely. Can't we put the two together and see what happens? And so they have now the Frosty Face Fostering Program. Try and say that three times without biting your tongue. Is now a new initiative that is pairing elderly people with elderly dogs and also fitting the bill of any of the vet and other sort of bills that comes with owning the dog. Isn't this cute?
No, it's too much. My heart wants to explode.
I think this is so awesome. It's going to free up space in shelters and also make old people feel a little good about themselves.
Well done, Cape Dashund Rescue Place.
So I love the criteria of this, though, to make sure that, you know, the people who are taking over the dogs and looking after them are also going to have an easier life. So the applicant has to be 60 years or older, and the dog in question would be 10 years or older. And they're calling it an open-ended fostering, whereby the home would keep the dog until either the dog passed away or the circumstances of the applicant would change, whether the applicant now has to go into assisted living or they can't take care of themselves, or the applicant themselves unfortunately passes away. And the Cape Dashan Rescue says that they'll be liable for any vet expenses incurred, bearing in mind that major surgery at this age is probably in the near future.
I've never been more excited to turn 60.
You just want to turn 60, have like...
Just look at a way to go, Leanne.
20 dogs.
You better have some plans for the in-between.
I just want to put my name on the list, though, can I?
Just a waiting list for when you turn 60. And I think this is awesome. The applicants would just be responsible for the day-to-day living expenses, like food or water, but there'd be no adoption fee. And should the applicant's circumstances change to the point where they're no longer able to take care of the dog would be returned to the Cape Dashan Rescue. And the applicants would need to reside near the cities and towns of Cape Town, Port Elizabeth, and the Garden Route. I think they've really covered all of their bases here.
I'm going to start packing my bags.
You'd contemplate moving to PE just for this.
Just for the old Dashund.
There we go. I think this is such a cool story. If you are interested in something like this, head over to the Cape Dashan Rescue Group for more information. But this is so sweet. Silver-faced dogs and silver-haired humans.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Are now beautiful. Going to be skipping beautiful. Into the sunset together in the best of ways. That's your Sid Vice here for this morning.
Love it. Very, very nice.
So a bunch of things, a couple of really nice messages from people. Do you want to hear some of those quickly before we get to the news? All right. So Gareth, this is from Chris. In an imaginary world, Donald Trump was running for president of South Africa, would you vote for him? I almost certainly would. He's a knob on personality, but he would get the job done. Your thoughts, Chris? Chris, I don't know, huh? I think he's good for America right now, whether America knows it or not. He does get things done, I'll give you that. I'm not a fan of this guy. I've said countless times, I don't think he would be a fun person to spend a dinner party with. I think it would all be about him.
Mm, he'd be very brash.
He would suck the energy out of the room. He's a bolshy, uncouth Queens real estate salesman, and I don't like people like that. I've only ever chased one person out of my house.
Oh.
I had a party with friends. This is probably about 5 or 6 years ago. And this guy arrived. He was an American, funnily enough. And I like Americans, so that's my caveat. This guy arrived, and he was just so obtuse and obnoxious, and it was all about him. And he was – every time anyone had a story, he had a better one.
Oh.
One of those guys. And I eventually just – I called him over to the side. I didn't make a scene. I said, Tim, listen, dude. I don't know you. You came with this girl who I invited, and frankly, I don't think you're fitting in. People don't like you, and I think you must go. I wasn't rude about it. It is rude to chase someone out of your house by definition, but
if he was rude to start with,
he was very very unpleasant and just an awful guy. He killed the vibe totally. Oh. So I said he must go, and I think that that's kind of what Donald Trump would do to me. But having said that, compared to the candidates we have in this country to vote for, And remember, if Donald Trump was running for president of South Africa, he doesn't know the territory.
Mm.
He doesn't know our history. I don't think he has the slightest interest in learning about our history. I don't think he would have a chance.
We're a shithole country to him.
Yeah, that's what he said. And look, in some ways we are, so he's not wrong on that front. But I don't think he'd get a lot of votes, and I don't know if he'd get mine. In fact, I know he wouldn't. How's that for an answer? Ricky says, congratulations, all the best going forward. Yeah, thank you. Craig in Cape Town says, please can we check our brake lights and indicators? Yes, Craig, good point. G-Man says, the fact that a K-word and a flag can cause people to go flat out into tailspins, yet there are kids drowning in actual pit lavatories, doesn't make sense. Yeah, G-Man, I have to agree with you. With regard to the flag, he says, you must see the comments on the SABC article. The amount of black South Africans that think apartheid will come back is frightening. It makes me think the ANC have done nothing to curb the psychological damage that black South Africans have. Shocking, to say the least, after 25 years. Well, Gord was here the other day, and he explained that I think his friend's mom works at an adult education school, and the reason that most people at she asked them, why do you vote ANC year after year, is because they think if they don't, apartheid will come back.
Yeah, I can fully understand that that's a fear.
So, you know, if that's the case, then maybe G-Man's got a point. Like, there's huge psychological damage going on here, and we've got to do something to fix it, to let these people know they're safe, to let these people know that you can't rewind the clock. Let these people know that no matter what happens in this country, even if only white people were polled, none of them want to go back to apartheid. I mean, you really, I tell you what, I try to mix with a diverse group of people with diverse ideas. I have struggled to find one person who would try to defend apartheid. And I'm talking about mostly in white groups. Have you met a person who's
not even people who stood up for it when it was around.
Yeah, so
even they have changed.
Even they've reformed. So yeah. I don't know where this, maybe it's just a deep-seated insecurity, but as you say, it's damage. And we need to do something about that. Matthew says he'd vote for me if I were running for president. Well, lucky you and lucky me, because I'm not. I have two Dachshunds, says someone else. They're amazing little dogs, mischievous but loving, and they like sleeping under the duvet with me.
Yes.
Yes, very sweet little dogs, those. All right, lots of other things to discuss, and we'll get into some of those just now. A couple of messages on Twitter coming through, so big thank you to everybody for those.
Yeah, sweet birthday messages.
Yeah, I see our friend Peter Boghossian, who we spoke to in Seattle not so long ago. He just congratulated us too. It's amazing you get these. By the way, I told you that Ricky Gervais liked my comment the other day.
Yes.
Yeah, so I'm going to DM him, hit him up for an interview. I think he'd be fascinating to talk to.
That would be so cool.
It's the only reason I use Twitter, honestly, is to get these interviews.
Networking.
Yeah, occasionally you meet someone interesting, and when they see that you've got 2 million followers, then they're like, oh, well, I better take him seriously. Otherwise, they wouldn't listen to me. They'd treat me like anybody else. So if I'm going to use it for anything, that's what it's useful for. Don't expect me to, like, get into conversations on Twitter. I've stopped doing that. Anyway, the president did say something interesting at a rally the other day. Can you believe him? I don't know. But here's President Cyril Ramaphosa saying that he's going to find the people who stole all our money and resources, and in the SOEs in particular, that were meant to better the lives of our people, and they must be arrested. They belong in jail. This is what Cyril says. Listen, tell me if you believe it.
At local government level, nakumasipala, sethi sifuna ukuthi labo abeba imali bona sibakhuphe baboshwe.
So he's saying, you know, all the money in the municipalities and the SOEs, those people who stole the money, we're going to get you. Lock you up.
Corruption.
No more corruption.
Corruption is bad for abantu bakuthi.
It's quite something when a president has to address his own supporters, when it's his party that's responsible for the corruption, and say, corruption is bad.
Well, Jesus. And let me guess, without seeing the visuals of that clip, did he look surprised?
Uh-huh.
Because that's his constant expression.
So surprised. Right? So surprised.
Just shocked. What?
Yeah.
We've had a bad rating from Moody's? What? There's corruption in the country?
Surprise.
What?
Surprise. All right. Loads of things to talk about in a short while. Stick around. CliffCentral.com. If you've got a comment or a question or you want to send us a message, 0797482090. Remember, you can also send us a voice note. We have the whole thing's hooked up now for voice notes. It's probably a lot better than actually, you know, trying anything else. And if you want to Skype us, Cliff Central, one word, if you want to get through to us. That is how you do it. Okay? Everybody clear?
Very good.
Excellent.
This is CliffCentral.com.